May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 1034. Jesus, my soul's athirst for thee. Absent from thee I cannot rest. Come now, reveal thyself to me. I cannot leave thy throne unblessed. Hymn 1034.
Thank you. Let us read from the Word of God, Psalm 51 and Romans 7. Psalm 51 and also Romans chapter 7. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Let us also read the 7th chapter in Paul's epistle to the Romans. Romans chapter 7. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also, are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law sin was dead. But I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do I allow not, for that I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, and with the flesh, the law of sin. May the Lord bless his holy word to us, and may he help us in prayer. O Lord God Almighty, thou great, holy, high, and lofty one, the living God, O the God with whom we have to do. O we beg now, Lord, thou wilt give to us the true exercise of prayer and faith in exercise as we venture to approach thee. O Lord, O we beg we might know thou art indeed approachable. And Lord, to feel it and to know the favour of it. And the favour to come before thee with confession and to plead for mercy for Jesus' sake. Oh, those wonderful words which are so much with us. We plead them now, Lord. For in thy word there is given those wonderful words that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, our trouble is we cannot cease from sin. Or we do know what the apostle knew, although we think of him and acknowledge him as that great apostle. But oh, how wonderful it is that thou hast given him to record how he deeply felt. And oh, what a wonderful fact it is, Lord, that we can identify with the Apostle Paul. We believe there are those here who can indeed so identify with him in the way as they feel their wretchedness and sin and guilt. And as the dear psalmist too, Lord, oh, we have so felt it since last Lord's Day. Oh, thou knowest how we trust we were led to consider those things, especially in the evening of being, oh, the favour being said of gospel liberty, and we believe in the hearts of friends there was that exercise and that coming together and that acknowledging among us. Oh, how we need this favour and desire it and look for it, and we know thou hast wonderfully in the holy truth of thy words stated that thou dost have a purpose to set burdened sinners free. And if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. But, O Lord, how changeable we are, how solemn is our case, how treacherous our hearts, how prone to wander we are, and how we've felt, Lord, solemnly, our wandering since last Lord's Day, our sin and guilt. Lord, thou hast had to chastise, and we have felt thy chastening. And, O Lord, as we come to thy house now, and on this another Sabbath day, oh, we trust we feel thankful for thy chastening, for thy correcting us, thy not leaving us totally to ourselves. Lord, we come now with confession. Thou knowest the grief we felt. We feel now through our sinning against thee, our loving Lord. And the Lord, as we deeply consider sins against the gracious God, sins against his name and blood. Sins immense as is the sea. Hide me, O Gethsemane. One said, if I had not got thy blood to plead, each sight would sink me to despair. But, O Lord, as we've heard pleaded, and Lord, we plead now with thee, and we trust with our friends here coming together, feeling our need, feeling solemnly our guilt, feeling our need to beg of thee for mercy. We come, Lord, now to plead again the blood that did for sin atone. Oh, Lord, do have mercy on us. Do favour us to feel today those wonderful favours the wonders of redeeming love. Oh, those wonderful things of thy restoring. Oh, thy favour to sinners to restore them and not leave them in their sad state, but to raise them up, to restore, to bring gladness. Oh, to know joy. Oh, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, Lord. Oh, visit us with thy free spirit, Lord, here today. And favour us here, thou knowest how. We've been desiring it in the theme of the hymn, Lord, and we pray we may continue today to feel the flowing together of exercise. And all that faith may be active in the Lamb once slain. Oh, do increase our faith, Lord. Oh, do give us that favour to be in faith believing. Oh, may we know it in that sacred sense, be gone unbelief. Oh, to feel it and to feel the Saviour near. Lord, we can rebuke the adversary when the Saviour's near. Oh, we can, Lord, then raise the sword and hold forth the shield and fight with hell and sin by living faith when thou art affording us thy favour, the strength that thou dost give, the strength that he is giving. I can wrestle, I can fight. Lord, we pray, do grant it. May we feel the favour of it, know it today. Come among us, Lord. We gathered here, company of sinners, unworthy of thy notice, we feel it, Lord. But thou hast not cut us off and cast us away. Thou spared our unworthy lives. And Lord, we're gathered here. We're gathered, Lord, for worship, to thank thee for thy goodness, thy loving kindness, as we've sung. And Lord, oh, how, Lord, thy loving kindness, as we've read in the word, and thou knowest in the midst of the week. Oh, we hope like a little oasis in the midst of the week it was. We were preaching on those things of the loving kindness of the Lord. But oh, the changing scenes, oh, as different times and days appear. Oh, every day brings something new, Zion's troubles to renew. Oh, Lord, and dark and cheerless is the morn unaccompanied by thee. Lord, those times of darkness, coldness, far off feeling. But Lord, oh, the lusts of the flesh, the pride of life. Lord, then how thou canst bring and use those means to chasten us and to show us and to deeply affect us. Oh, Lord, oh, we bless thee. Thou dost not leave us totally to ourselves. Oh, we pray now. May we know thy sweet presence here today. May we know that favour of thy love. Oh, we're so loveless ourselves, so cold and faint, but Lord, do come and warm our hearts, set our very hearts and souls on fire with the love of God. Oh, may we know it. Oh, to know it. Oh, the love of Christ to sinners. Oh, we trust we've known it. We want to know more. We want it restored. We want to know it again. We want to know and taste redeeming love, Lord. We believe the exercised souls here, they do want this. They do need it. They do pray for it. And Lord, we beg that thus they will come. Lord, how we think of how thou didst have compassion upon the multitudes in the wilderness. Oh, even for their natural good. And oh, Lord, oh, thou dear Lord Jesus Christ, thou art all compassion. Oh, Lord, do come and compassionate our cases. We're very poor, very vile, we feel very, very, very guilty. Oh, we do need today something to do us good from thyself, from thy word. And Lord, we believe there are those here who are in a like exercise. Oh, we hope it is an exercise, Lord. Oh, we trust it is true exercise. Oh, Lord, the Spirit working in us. God working in you. To will and to do of his good pleasure. Do prove it, Lord, that it is truly so. Oh, that we're not going to be left to be a castaway. Oh, that we're not going to be cast away forever at last. Oh, Lord, we couldn't bear that sore. We cannot bear that piercing sore. Oh, thy love has won our affection. We hope and bound ourselves fast. But Lord, we confess all our sins now and plead. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh, Lord, forgive. Let a repenting rebel live. Be with the dear friends in whatever path they're in, whatever trial lies at their door, whatever cross. Lord, uphold them, help them, comfort them. May thy presence be known and felt. Be with them in the journey. Be with them in the way. Lead them on, Lord. We pray for the dear young friends, young people, and children, Lord. Oh, thou knowest our heart's desire for them is that, oh, their mind is civic could please thee, teach them in their early days. Oh, that thou would give to them real concern, real exercise. Oh, Lord, that thou would give them life, spiritual life. Oh, if it could be thy holy will, Lord, that thou would quicken them and make them alive. And those thou hast, we hope, made alive, quickened by grace, do go on to teach them. Lord, establish them, teach them, bless them. Oh, may they know that blessed favour being in thy school. Lord, they've had to attend school, and we hope they have in a right and good way prospered in it and learned. And Lord, as they go on in this, oh, may they learn, and may they be given wisdom and understanding, all things needful. Make a way for them, Lord, in this world. It's a world, a wilderness to thy people, a sin-cursed world. But thou canst make a way for them and provide for them. We believe thou wilt. But oh, give them that exercise to seek first the kingdom of God and thy righteousness. May they know, oh, solemnly the importance that one thing is needful. Lord, there's ever so much we need and think we need naturally, but, oh, in the reality of it, what we do so much need, but we don't know it by nature. We need salvation. We need to be saved because we're sinners. Oh, teach us well our sinnership, Lord. Teach the dear young people it. May they know it. May they know that they've got wicked hearts. May they know their guilt. Feel it before thee, a holy God. And Lord, so give them to be concerned and to seek thee. For Christ is the friend of sinners. The wonderful truth of thy word, the wonderful gospel of thy grace. Oh, the grace of God. Oh, if sinners have the grace of life, they'll need the gospel of grace. Oh, Lord, do bless the young people, that they might be seeking thee in early days in their lives, if it could be thy holy will. Lord, we pray for those who've gone their way, those that have gone their own way into their paths near and far away from God. But sometimes, Lord, we feel it like the hymn writer says, far from God as sheep can run. Lord, we cannot give them up. We pray for them. Pray that they might return. Or that they might need to. They might come to want. They might feel their need, their guilt before they can come and return. Lord, at thy time, according to thy will and purpose for them. Do so work, Lord. Quicken in dead sinners into life. Calling them by thy grace. May thy work appear unto thy servants, Lord. May we be in the Church of God exercised, earnestly exercised, watching and waiting for thy appearing, pleading with thee that thy work may appear unto thy servants and thy glory to their children. Lord, that we might carry real burden for souls, be really concerned for souls, the souls of our loved ones and their friends and theirs. Lord, we trust we have this burden, Lord. And oh, we long to see thy work appear, Lord, and need to bring them, bring back the wanderers, and oh, work in those in the chapels, Lord. And Lord, we are concerned lest they might just learn in a natural way the things of our order, our good order of service and our good devotions, Lord, according to the natural mind. Oh, if they only learn it like that, and if they are in an outward way good in conduct, and Lord, are resting on that, Lord, we know this is very dangerous too. Oh, Lord, do save them from being settled in a dead religion. Oh, give them real life, life from the dead, a living exercise. Oh, real religion, which is more than notion. Lord, do favour them tonight. Oh, save us from any form of dead religion or false hope. Oh, save our loved ones, save our children from it, save any from resting on a bed that's too short, having a covering too narrow. Lord, hear us for all those we bear before thee now, little ones, young ones, older than the aged, Lord. And Lord, thou knowest we do specially desire it might be light with thy dear people in their old age. Oh, and they might even bring forth fruit in old age. Lord, do bless them. Be with the afflicted. Oh, help them, Lord. Attend to them. Lord, thou knowest we sung on Wednesday, Jesus is a wise physician. And Lord, how we sung it, as we know here in the Sabbath school last Lord's Day. Oh, Lord. Oh, may we dwell upon that wonderful reality of what Jesus is, what Jesus is to me. Oh, what thou art, Lord, who thou art, and what a great Saviour thou art. And we are great sinners, we need the great Saviour. Lord, oh, may we know it much, feel it much. So help us, Lord, and be with us each one. We pray for all thy people, Lord, and all thy servants. And know with them, Lord, everyone. We pray it may be a good day in Zion today. Souls favoured and blessed, and much honour and glory ascend to thee. Oh, bless thy people where'er they meet, Lord. May they know thy wonderful presence. Oh, Jesus in the midst. Lord, come in the midst here, we pray, and bless us here. Oh, we pray for our country, Lord, look in mercy still upon us. We plead thy mercy. We plead, Lord, that thou wilt in wrath remember mercy. Oh, we know thy judgments are so much abroad in our land and in the earth. And Lord, we would revere them and tremble before thee at thy judgments, Lord. The greatness and the solemnity of thy displeasure, Lord. Oh, who can stand before an angry God? Lord, we beg, do give to those in high places some understanding of how thou art the great God and art grieved and art angry with us. Lord, we have turned so much round, so opposite to what is set forth in the teaching of thy word. Lord, our laws have been revoked and repealed and made different, and Lord, to accommodate all kinds of wickedness and sin. And, oh Lord, to legalize it. Oh, we are troubled. We beg thee, still look in mercy upon us, though we are so vile. Oh Lord, do raise up some that fear thee in high places, Lord. hear us for our land. But, O Lord, help us to leave all the things of natural life at the foot of the mountain. Oh, we do want to know that real life within, life from the dead, oh, living exercise, oh, faith in the bleeding lamb. Give us a glimpse, Lord, by faith of thyself today. Bless souls with this favour, and then thou wilt truly be glorified. Oh Lord, thy people will truly agree with the psalmist, not unto us, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for his mercy and his truth's sake. Oh, help us to preach the truth in love and faithfulness, Lord. May it be as food for the souls of the people. Feed us, Lord, with food convenient for us. Thou knowest each case. Lord, we beg for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 967. God of my life, to thee I call. Afflicted at thy feet I fall. When the great water floods prevail, leave not my trembling heart to fail. Hymn 967.
as the Lord may help me, friends, I would direct you to Psalm 51 and the verses 10 to 12. Psalm 51, verses 10 to 12. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Really, the 12th verse is the prayer that is the height of the need, I believe, and prayer, as with the other utterances in the verses prior, 10, 11 and 12. But restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You will remember, friends, I expect, how we were led, I trust, to preach to you on last Lord's Day evening on that wonderful subject of the great favour of God, where God in his holy purpose brings a soul to that point where they are desiring an exercise to be made free, to be liberated, to be set free in a wonderful sense of liberty, the liberty of the gospel. And we hope we preached it to you with desire and exercise for your favour, for God to so bless you and favour you. And I believe there were those here who felt that, and some in some way led along in their exercise for it and desiring it. And I noticed in the first hymn this morning, there still is that, obviously in the heart and exercise of our friend, the dear deacon, those things of that purpose and desire for liberty to be set free. And as we've been singing now, and to be restored. But friends, if I may solemnly confess before you, I've had to confess before God, we have been subject to many changes since last Lord's Day. And I was left in my poor heart to be caught and troubled by Satan, and to fall. Falling inwardly is no less solemn, really, than falling outwardly. And we have felt so much our guilt during the week, our sin, our awfulness of the treachery of our wicked heart. And too, the Lord has shown his love in chastening. Oh, when we have felt the grief come upon us of our guilt, and then so quickly too, we have the signs and the feeling sense of the chastening of the Lord. It is like what we've just sung. The Lord doesn't leave his people. He's ever concerned for them, to correct them, to check them, chasten them. And you know, I had my legs swell so much on Tuesday, and I could see the solemn anger of God in it, the displeasure of God in it. Is making me tremble before him. What is coming now, Lord? What are we going to have to feel and know, and of affliction and trouble? And we had trouble with that. Couldn't get our shoes on one day. And, you know, oh, what a voice it was. And I had to say, Lord, I know what I have done. Lord, I know how I have grieved thee. Lord, have mercy. And the prayer of the psalmist so suited, restore unto me, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy... Isn't it a mercy, friends? Isn't it a wonder of wonders that we can plead with our God in such a way as the psalmist did? Us sinners, us vile sinners, as we have to feel we are, we who so grieve our God, so much are found feeling like the apostle did, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And God, in mercy, he is dealing with us and watching over us, and he's correcting us and teaching us in these ways. So I hope, coming to the Lord's Day today, I can see the love and the wonder of the favour that we are such subjects of our God, subjects of his wise decree. Though we're sinners, although we're so prone to wander, yet our God knows all about us and has a purpose of love and mercy to chasten us, to correct us, and he has a purpose to restore us. When the Apostle Paul was in his state of unregeneracy, he was going mad and full of a wrong zeal, full of a wrong purpose, and he was so determined and so strong and forceful, and I expect riding upon a horse, and I think of how we have seen people riding on their horses, especially large horses. Been a voice to me this week in our neighbourhood, a farmer who is a 2,000 acre farmer passed away this week. Very respectable family, very much thought of family in the neighbourhood. Two brothers, one taken some years ago. The other brother, when he used to come out of his large farmhouse, he used to be able to say, I am monarch of all I survey. Got such a large area and beautiful situation. This one has just passed away, living in another property, another farm, in a slightly different circumstances, but very, very much involved with his horses, hunting and so on. You know, I thought of Paul when we've seen our friend, and I say friend in the fact respect as neighbour, respect him as a neighbour, but seeing him ride and leading the hunt, and you know, up high on his horse, I've thought of the Apostle Paul, how he must have been so determined. But when we come to the point where we read, as he wrote his epistle to the Romans, he's a totally different man now. Sovereign grace has arrested him, changed him, made him so different, made him to know and feel the malady of sin, sold under sin, the treachery of his heart. Are you like that? You might have been strong in a particular way and self-sufficient, self-important. But what are you like now? Is there a difference in you? Is there a difference with you? Has your heart been changed? Your will been renewed? Has the Lord made you to feel like Paul the Apostle felt? Oh, how different he was to what he was in his unregenerate state. Didn't feel a wretched man then. Self-righteous, full of zeal, doing what he thinks he must. And I think of it, not that I would wrongly use the figure of that man in our area, but, you know, we sometimes get a glimpse of things in those ways. And I particularly think of Paul like that, how he must have appeared before his fellow men and people, going about persecuting the church. You haven't done that, not like Paul did, but you've been in your own will and purpose doing what you've done and doing, living your life. And as a time come with you that God has come to you and he has changed your heart, turned you around, he's made you feel you've got a wretched heart, you're a wretched man or a wretched woman. You're a subject of sovereign grace, if this is so. The Lord has dealt with you in that way to teach you, because he loves you. He has took you in hand, begun to deal with you. When you look within and see all those awful, horrible things in you, oh, and feel what a wretched man you are. Feel what a vile character you are. And I'm talking about the early feelings of it, the first feelings of it, the reality of a new man of grace viewing what he is as a wretched, horrible, guilty sinner before God. You see, I hope I knew that many years ago, and some of you here did. And God blessed you. He didn't leave you in your state of condemnation and vileness, feeling it, and guilt, and under the law. You know how we've read concerning Paul, acknowledging how the law was used of God in him and for him. And how the commandment came. He says, when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Some of us can look back to that time. Oh, we acknowledge it, that God did deal with us like that. He did make us feel our wretched state. And some of you younger ones have been brought into it more recently, perhaps. I believe there are some, I'm sure there are some. But oh, you will, in your early days of feeling it, you will long for the favour, to know forgiveness of sins, to know the Lord loves you and he's come for you and he's suffered for you and he's redeemed you. That's what you long to know. But those of us who had these things years back, we've known and tasted redeeming love. We have been favoured much. We've been blessed. We've known the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich. We are really feeling now, as the dear psalmist felt, feeling especially fresh, contracted guilt by sin. We're feeling it solemnly, grieving over it, because God's working in us to give us to feel that deep inward grief. We wouldn't feel it by nature. We wouldn't feel it left to the dictates of our old natural heart. But in the new man of grace, there's this exercise, this deep feeling of grief. There's this feeling sense of godly sorrow, worked in God's people by the work and operation of the Spirit. And it's the reality of being a living character, one under grace. But that doesn't, in the understanding of it, give us the consolation, not what we need. We need restoring. We need to be brought to return. We need to be brought to know again the wonderful favour of the love of Christ. This is what we need. You know, I believe the earnest prayer, the longing desire of the new man of grace is, create in me a clean heart, O God. Actually, the psalmist already has a clean heart, a new heart, a new nature. But he's under such an influence of the old man, he's been under it, and he's been caught by the dictates of the old nature. And the devil's operation in him and work in him and the temptations of the adversary, the lusts of the flesh, he's being caught and now he desires Oh, create in me a clean heart, O God. Sometimes we feel the need really cleaning out, and it's only God can do it. We really feel the need of it. Do you feel it now? You really feel the need of the Lord coming to you and creating in you a clean heart. Well, I believe what it is to, in God's way and purpose, to so deal with you, to teach you more by His Spirit, that you do have a new nature, you do have a clean heart, but to not be left to the dictates of the old heart so much, but to have the favour of grace abounding in you. To know the favour. And another way to pray for this is, reign o'er us as King. Accomplish thy will. Powerfully bring us forth from all ill. We need the Lord to come. Lord Jesus, shine, shine within me. Oh, may I know that warmth of the love of Christ. Create in me a clean heart. Subdue the old man. It says it was a person to be dealt with, deeply dealt with, and to feel it within, that the Lord's entering in. He's entering in. One of the hymn writers puts it in a sweet way, enter thyself and cast out sin. This is what you need. This is what I need. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Oh, renew a right spirit, a gracious spirit. A right spirit is a spirit exercised, and as the Lord by the Spirit leads you to consider the things of what is pleasing to God, a right spirit. Now this, the Pharisees would take this right spirit and they would say, I must do everything what's right. I must have correctness and rightness. And the Pharisees could build on it and have a kind of self-important religious devotion. A right spirit. That's like as we have in the 107th Psalm where we were preaching from on Wednesday, the last verse. You know, the seventh verse, I think it is, it says, and he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. The right way. In a similar sense, that way is not a legal way. It's God's will. It's God's way. It's not, as it were, an assumed legally right way according to what a person thinks. It's God's way, God's will. It's not a legal way. And you think of this, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. It's not a self-righteous spirit. A right spirit. A tender spirit. A spirit of feeling love to the Lord, and to appreciate and know and feel thanksgiving for the kindness and love of God. A right spirit, to rightly acknowledge, to have a desire to, a spirit for, to rightly acknowledge the favour of God, the kindness of God. And to respect and to hold and to bless God for the truth, especially the truth as it is in Jesus. Create in me a clean heart, O God. I want pureness. Pureness and desire and for wholesome love and affection of the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father, to have love to God and desire to serve God and to have what we sung of, what we read of, that broken and contrite heart. Oh, to be restored, to have a right spirit within me. cast me not away from thy presence. You'll feel you deserve this. God's people feel they deserve it when we've sinned against our God, especially as we feel we've sinned against our loving Lord. Oh, God, would be perfectly just to cast us away. Cast, that's what we've been singing in that last hymn, acknowledging it. Cast me not away in thine anger. Cast me not away from thy presence, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Oh, cast me not away. You know, it's a deep place when the child of God feels they're in a condition, a state that they really deserve to be cast away, and God would be perfectly just to cast them away. Do you feel that? Do you feel it? I feel it. I felt it this week. God would be perfectly just to cast us away, but see, these children of God, they know the throne of grace and they know how to approach the Lord. Psalmist here knows well how to approach the Lord. He says, cast me not away from thy presence. We know the ultimate of being cast away from the presence of God is to be cast into hell. We deserve that. But you know, also in your living your days and going on in the pilgrimage, something you can't bear is to be cast away from the presence of your Lord. There are those parts of the Word of God which show this so clearly. I especially think of the spouse in the song, where it is so set forth that the spouse is feeling the sad desertion of God. The beloved has withdrawn himself. My beloved has withdrawn himself and is gone. And there's that mourning of the loss of the presence of our friend. Mary Magdalene felt it when she went to the sepulchre. They have taken away my Lord. I know not where they have laid him. Oh, do you feel this, friends? You don't, you know and feel solemnly you deserve the Lord to withdraw from you and to cast you away. And it is specific here, cast me not away from thy presence. Psalmist has not gone as far as to say, cast me not away into hell. He would feel that too. But he in more detail and exercise, he says, cast me not away from thy presence. If you know something of what it is to feel like the hymn writer said, in thy presence I am happy, in thy presence I am secure. And also, as he touches upon it in the path of affliction, in thy presence I am happy, in thy presence I am secure, and in thy presence I can all afflictions easily endure. What understanding was given to that hymn writer, friend? Do you know something of it? Some of you have been afflicted, been in deep affliction. Younger friends have. You had the presence of the Lord in that affliction. You've been able to endure it. If you come brought out of it, brought out in some good measure, restored in health, you now feel, and if you sin and are feeling grief through sinning, you can in a deep way understand something of what the psalmist says here, how he felt. Cast me not away from thy presence. Oh, if you know the preciousness of the blessed presence of your Lord, and then you lose his presence. And if you are in deep exercise in this feeling sense of loss of the presence of your Lord, and know the real cause of it, oh, the guilt you feel, you've offended your Lord, your Saviour. then you can plead, you do plead, and you know, in such a place, it would be a grief you could not bear. Did God not hear and answer prayer? Cast me not away from thy presence. Cast me not away. I want to enjoy thy presence, Lord. I want to know the company, the sweet fellowship of thy love. I want to know and feel thee near. I do not want to go on feeling this sad, solemn desertion. I want to know thy presence, Lord. In thy presence I am happy. In thy presence, in his presence I am secure. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Oh, how you will have learned in your experience so much of the importance and the vital reality of the leading and teaching of the Holy Spirit. It's the dear Holy Spirit who testifies of Christ. He takes of the things of Jesus and reveals them to you. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Oh, this prayer is to God the Father, and it's prayer concerning the Holy Spirit, and it's prayer concerning the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is the one who testifies of Christ, who is that one who wonderfully favours sinners to be exercised to consider him. You know, if you're in trial and tribulation, the wonderful benefit and favour of considering him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds, you will know in such an through such experience the great importance of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Oh, you plead with your God, take not thy Holy Spirit from me, because you know through experience the wonderful favour of the indwelling of the Spirit. Oh, the dear Spirit indwelling the child of God, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so you plead this, you feel this. I felt this week, friends. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Of course, it's souls who have known and tasted the love of God, the joys of salvation, who will desire it to be restored, will feel their loss when they do not feel and know this favour. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Now, friends, I can tell you, and I believe there are those of you who know well, there is no joy like the joy of God's salvation. There is no joy can come anywhere near to compare to the joy of God's salvation. The salvation of your soul. You see, when the dear Spirit has been working in you to teach you that one thing is needful, nothing else is as important as the need you have and you are concerned for, the need of your soul. You need salvation. You need to be saved from your sins. And nothing is as important as this. This is the most important matter. One thing is needful. The Lord spoke to Martha as Mary was showing. She knew it and sitting at his feet. And Martha rebuking. And Martha must be rebuked, complaining to the Lord about her much serving. But how the Lord in love pointed it out, made it clear. One thing is needful. And you know, it's to know my Jesus crucified. By far excels all things, exceeds all things beside. All earthly good I can, but not lost and triumph in my Saviour's cross. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. The joy of God's salvation is, it is known like this. A soul, a wretched, troubled, guilty, soul who has been pleading for mercy, brought to know that God loves them, to be raised to a hope, blessed to believe that God loves them. The dear Son of God has come and suffered for them, paid the price. Oh, to believe in salvation by grace, to know the favour of, have it sealed to you, the joy of salvation, of God's salvation, is knowing it, having it sealed to you, that you're favoured and blessed with an interest in the Saviour's blood. That's the joy of God's salvation. To know my Jesus crucified. To know him as such. To be able, like Paul, to say, he loved me and gave himself for me. To believe in him, to the saving of your soul. That's what brings. And the favour is known. Of the joy of God's salvation. The joy of salvation is in believing your sins are blotted out, put away by Christ, atoned for. Oh, you are one of those who we mentioned last Lord's Day who can say, as Paul could write into the Romans, we have received the atonement. With this blessed atonement on, everything is settled. All is settled and my soul approves it well. The comfort of God's love. Oh, the liberty of the gospel. Oh, you want this restored, the joy of thy salvation. Oh, God's salvation, known and felt and the favour sealed to us all, restore unto me. Personal, isn't it? Personal for you, in your case and mine. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Because all these things that we have to experience as we're journeying on in our pilgrimage, and much of it comes upon us through our own folly. You know, all these things weigh us down. We're well loaded. God's appointed his people won't be well loaded, weighed down. In a sense, they are safer when they're loaded, well laden, heavy laden, burdened, exercised by it. But under the favour of the joy of God's salvation, there's a sweet freeness and liberty. But you will never forget that reality of hard reality of being heavy laden. I know as a lorry driver years ago, and I know our friend with us here will know, you know, a lorry I believe is safer when it's loaded, in a sense, for stability it is. I nearly had an accident with an empty trailer, 40-foot empty trailer. Really frightened me. When we're heavy laden, we are perhaps more safe. Certainly more safe than under with treacherous calm, or lukewarmness, or neglectfulness. But oh, the knowing the reality of being so laid down and weighted and burdened, and especially when we become very stretched and strained and very, very much weakened and troubled, and Satan roars at these times when we're made weak and so vulnerable we are in that sense. Oh, yeah, the desire is then uphold me with thy free spirit, but uphold me in integrity. Now, uphold me, this is more the angle that I believe the psalmist meant. Uphold me in humility and integrity and sincerity. And that we might live giving the Lord all our heart. We might submit unto him. we might submit to Jesus' righteous rules and bear before the King those themes in that sacred hymn, that wonderful hymn. Submit to Jesus' righteous rules, bear before the King. Soldiers, your captain own. Domestics, serve the Lord. Sinners, the Saviour's love make known. Saints, him, the incarnate word. To be really upheld in the things of God. And to be in practice, not just that favour of believing, but practising what we know, and to be showing forth the Lord's praise, to be living unto him. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Oh, the wonderful favour of the Lord giving that spirit of worship and praise, that spirit of exercise and service of God in a way, with the sacrifice of God, which is a broken and contrite heart. God will not despise it. Oh, he is to be worshipped, he is to be praised. Purpose of a child of God's life in time is to live unto him, to show forth his praise. Oh, to have a heart to praise our God, a heart from sin set free, a heart that's sprinkled with his blood so freely shed for me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Oh, that the Lord would restore it. We may know it and blessedly show it forth today that he has restored us. I felt so humbled, friends, that when I woke this morning, I didn't seem to have any swelling in my feet, legs and feet. I felt yesterday, Lord, I pleaded with the Lord yesterday, Lord, do help me to go tomorrow and to preach the word to poor sinners, and that they would bless it and get to thyself honour and glory. It seemed so humbling, God's kindness to me, his love to me, in the face of me being such a bad soul, such a poor thing, such a wretched one who is so quickly caught, so soon falls, so soon backslides. Oh, the grief we have to carry through the treachery of our wicked heart. But oh, the wonder he does restore us. He does not leave us, he corrects us. Such is our God, and such are we, the subjects of his wise decree to make us right and keep us right. Restore unto me. There's a soul here who really feels this. I believe the Lord's going to do it, you know. If you really feel this and are concerned and troubled about your state and condition, and your prayer is in earnestness, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, I believe the Lord's going to do it in his time. Because he's giving you living exercise. He is actually upholding you with his free spirit. He is. He's holding thy soul in life. He's upholding thee. Satan can't actually get you. You're not going to make shipwreck of faith. I believe the time will come when he will restore you and wonderfully bless you. And you know, if you feel the need of God's mercy and love for the first time, if you know your wretchedness under God's teaching and feel, as you look within, you see such awful things that trouble you, but you must look out of self to Jesus Christ. He says, come unto me, all ye that labour and heavy laden, I will give you rest. I believe the Lord has a purpose in his time to bring you into the favour, to know his love, to know and taste redeeming love. I believe the time will come. The time of love shall come when thou shalt clearly see not only that he shed his blood, but each shall say for me. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £740, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Pocock will preach on Tuesday evening and Mr. Pack next Lord's Day. And would our young people kindly bring their Gadsby's hymn books to Sunday school, as well as the Sunday school hymn books at the Sunday school at Bethany. Thank you. Let us close with hymn 759. Jesus heals the brokenhearted. Oh, how sweet that sound to me. Once beneath my sin he smarted, groaned and bled to set me free. Hymn 759.
Thank you.
forgive anything they have seen amiss. Own and bless thy word. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.